Good evening, Celestine.
Good evening, Mr. Connor.
It's Shaquita Max, Shaquita Maxwell from Alabama.
Macon, Georgia.
Man, we got some Maxwells up here that I know well. That's my first cousins.
Tell them I said hello.
Well, ain't I tell them that our cousin said hello.
Good evening. Welcome, caller. Pastor Malone, I was looking forward to meeting you, but I understand that you had some health issues or your wife.
I had an engagement that had been planned for about 2 months, and on Sunday, and my wife, Wednesday night, she got in the garden and done something and got a broke bone in her ankle, and I take it to the emergency room.
Pastor Charles told us. I heard three people ring in. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I missed it. Yeah, I know it was good, though.
We're going to do it again.
You was in the picture with Pastor Sturvey.
Not sure. I may have been.
Yeah, it was.
I know. I took his picture.
He was taking pictures himself most of the time.
If you go to the website, you'll see all the pictures. They're on the news.
What
tab.
Website? What website?
Out of the Box Ministries, Macon.com.
Out of the Box Ministries.
Ministries, Macon.com. Click on that news tab and you will see a whole lot of stuff.
Macon. How do you spell Macon?
M-A-C-O-N.
M-A-C-O-N.
O-N.
.com?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah? Man, I'm going there. Out of the Box Ministry, Macon.com.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yours truly, the webmaster.
Amen. Y'all have another one. I'm going to make sure I come. Okay. Was anybody else from the group there?
Good evening, welcome, caller. I don't know, Pastor Stewart and his wife was there.
And Uncle John.
Uncle John.
Mm-hmm. And his daughter and son-in-law.
Okay.
Yeah, a little group
and,
with him.
And then when Angora, somebody and her daughter. And.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she told us she came. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard someone ring in. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Good evening. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Good evening, family.
Amen. Good evening. Good evening, Sister.
Good evening. Good evening, Pastor Albert and my family. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, family. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, family. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. We are doing well here. Amen.
That's good.
That, outoftheboxministries.com, do it have a support, some way you can support that ministry on online?
No, but I tell you what, I can easily make that happen.
Okay. We'll talk. You give me your, Sister Singleton.
Yeah.
I speak to someone after dying.
Yes, sir. We will work with the webmaster, Deacon Connor, and we will share additional information concerning your question, because the ministry is a ministry of a partnership of five ministries that have come together. So we will share that. But if you go to the website, you will see that information.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. With Big McConnor. Okay, we'll chat. Have a chat afterwards.
Yes, sir. We will share. I will share Pastor Albert on the line in the morning.
Okay.
In the morning, we will share additional information. Yes, sir.
Yes, we got a whole lot of meat here tonight. We got.
Amen.
Stop and Katie, look it up. Take off.
Is Pastor Story on yet?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Good evening. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. So it is 7:05 p.m. on the 2nd of July, 2024, and we are ready to begin our session. On behalf of the Gathering Place Beyond the Wall, Gates of Prayer, Enlightenment Ministry, and Out of the Box, all supported by Manifold Resource Center, we welcome you to the call. The three P's, praise, prayer, and the E, and equipped. Amen. So we're ready to begin. We're going to move forward to prayer by Deacon Everett Henderson, followed by a song by Sister Susie Milton. And then we will toss it over to Minister Deborah Singleton and follow the program as we talk. Amen.
Father God Almighty, we come before your throne of grace and mercy this evening. God, we come to praise you and glorify you, for you are the one and only true and living God. You are God the Father. You are God the Son. You are the God, the Holy Spirit. God, we are nothing without you. We need you. So here we are at this 6 p.m. hour, 7 p.m. hour, just glorifying and praising you for who you are. God, we seek your forgiveness for our sins. And we ask of you, God, will you create in us a clean heart? Heavenly Father, please renew in us a right spirit. Father God, we just want to thank you for this day. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for how you've watched over us, how you've kept us safe, how you have continued, God, to keep our minds, and how you have continued to keep us strong. For God, we've had some challenges today. But thanks be unto you, God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. God, we thank you for loving us so, that you allowed your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for all of our sins. And
yes,
Jesus,
Lord,
we are grateful that you have redeemed us. We're grateful, Jesus, that you always walk with us on this journey. Like you're always strengthening us. You're always keeping us. And Jesus, we are so grateful. We are grateful, God, for the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit that walks with us on this journey of life, that points us in the direction of truth. And, God,
yes,
we realize and understand that we need your Holy Spirit to be always present with us. So, God, as we sit at this table to learn more of your word, fill us with understanding of your word. Anoint us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we can walk and be the men and women that you have desired and called us to be. God, we want to also give thanks to you for the leadership that you have placed on this line. We thank you for the various ministries that have come together collectively, Lord, to glorify you and to praise you, to teach your word, to minister to this world filled with people that don't know you. I pray your blessings upon each minister, each pastor, each person of the gospel that you have called to teach and teach your word. I pray your protection over their lives and everywhere that they may go, God. I pray that you will have your angels to keep watch over and protect them. God, you are omniscient. You know everything. There's nothing that you don't know. You know the deep secrets of our hearts. You know the things on our minds that we don't even speak about. You know every intricate detail of our lives. So, Lord, we just come humbling ourselves before you, seeking your strength. And, God, when we disconnect from this line tonight, I pray that you will fill us even more with the presence of your Holy Spirit, leading and guiding us in the way of truth. I pray that no weapons formed or fashioned against us and our families will prosper. I pray, Father God, trusting in the name of Jesus, that wherever healing is needed on this line, we already are walking in healing because our Savior Jesus died and rose above sickness. He rose above death. He rose above lack. He rose above issues that we are having. So, God, we just come seeking you now. And I pray, God, that you just will continue to be with us, Lord. God, you know the condition of this country. God, you know what we stand in need of. And God, we are asking you in the name of Jesus that you will change the hearts and change the minds of the wickedness that's flowing through our governmental system, Lord.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
Government is on your shoulders, Lord. And we, your people, we know that that's nothing too hard because we know, God, you own everything. So, Lord, those of us that may be anxious, that may be frustrated, that may be fearful, I pray that you give us peace, knowing that you are sovereign and there's nothing that's going on that you can't stop in its track. We glorify you, we praise you, and we just ask now, Holy Spirit, that you would just take over this session, take over our minds, take over our wills. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 I am filled with transition. No,
yes,
we got to hold to
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good evening to my sisters and brothers this evening. I'm going to ask if you would please mute your phones this evening. We are receiving some feedback, and I certainly want to welcome all of you that are joining with us this evening. We have over 20-plus people online tonight, over 20-plus people online, and we are so appreciative that you have joined us in our study this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 reads this way. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. Verse 5 says, but you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4 warns us of a time when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but will gravitate to a great number of teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. We believe this deception has never been greater than it is right now. That's why sound doctrine is so important. Many are heading down the road, the broad road to destruction, unawares because of false teachers and their teachings. Ones they met at a Christian university, a seminary, a church, a ministry, or even in your own workplace. And some of us may have seen it in our own homes. False teachers are dangerous, and therefore Scripture commonly warns us about them. Their appearance can and will in many times influence many of us. Can you recognize them and their fruits? Being able to recognize them will protect you and others from their destructive influence. Tonight, as we come to a near close of the book of Jude, Pastor Charles and Pastor Albert will go behind the scenes of scriptures and bring forth the destructive heresies, doctrine that does not align to the word of God or the teachings of God. This evening, I ask if you would please take your pen, your paper, and your Bible and follow along as we pull back the cover on recognizing the portraits of false teachers, their tactics, and the strategy that we as believers must have as we respond to false teachers, false prophets, and false doctrine in days to come and days that we are now in. So after our song by Brother Al, we will have Pastor Charles and Pastor Albert again coming to us, going behind the scenes of Scripture and bringing forth the word of God that we need
to be able to stand firm and stand steadfast in this world that we live in. Amen. Brother Al.
Amen.
God is my protection. God is,
yes,
my all in all. God is my light in darkness. God is my all and all. God is my joy in time of sorrow. God is my all and all. God is my today and my tomorrow. God is my all and all. God is the joy and the strength of my life. God is all pain, misery and strife. He comes to keep me, never to leave me. He never ever come short of his word. I've got to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way. God is my clean every day. I want to go with him when he comes back. I've come too far, and I'll never turn back. God is, God is, God is, God is, God is my all,
yes,
and all.
Amen.
Amen.
God is the joy and the strength of my life. God is all things, misery and strife. He promised to keep me, never to leave me. He never ever come short of his word. I've got to pass and pray, stay in the narrow way. God is my life, clean every day. I want to go with him when he comes back.
Yes, sir.
I've come too far, and I'll never turn back. God is, God is, God is, God is
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now we're ready for our dynamic duo, Pastor Charles Story and Pastor Albert Malone.
Amen.
Someone still needs to mute their phone, please. We hear your conversation, and it's being picked up on the recording. Your conversation is being picked up on the recording, and we're just so glad that you're joining with us this evening and being a part of this session and getting your Bibles and your paper and your pen, but we're picking up on your conversation, and your conversation will be captured on the recording. So we're asking if you would please just go to mute, just hit that mute button, M-U-T-E, on your phone, where it looks like it has a little speaker there. Just hit that, and we will be able to proceed, and just want you to know we're just so glad that you're joining with us this evening in this study. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. So here we are today, looking at Jude again. We have recognized from our previous times that this is Jude, Mary's son, and Joseph's son. They share the same mother. Jesus shares the same mother with Jude and James, who are also writers led by Holy Spirit to pen letters in Scripture. Now, Jude was started off with a letter to the churches to encourage them in their faith. And he got started in the early part of the chapter, given the purpose to undergird their faith. And if we remember correctly, Peter wanted to make sure the believers were contending for the faith. And our faith is based on principles on the finished works of Jesus. And these principles is how we commune and have our relationship restored back with the Father. So Jude, as we're going to just briefly look back at our teachings in previous times, he gave a description of the false teachers. He talked about the past judgment of false teachers. And last week we went on to talk about the present characteristics of false teachers. So tonight, Brother Albert is going to take us on a journey about the future judgment of false teachers and how to defend ourselves against false teachers. And then we'll close out in what's called the doxology, showing how Jesus' finished works is more than enough for the believer to warfare against this peril. And this book was written somewhere between 65 and 80 A.D. Again, I want to reiterate what this book is about. Contending for the faith, defending the faith against false teachers, being vigilant. As Paul talked about it in Romans 10, he said he accused the Roman church of having a zeal, a sense of enthusiasm, a sense of excitement, but no knowledge. A zeal without knowledge. So what this contending for the faith is making plain, to talk about it even more, is there must be a foundation of principles. False teachers find a breeding ground for their false teachings when the audience is not rooted and grounded in what they believe. Many are rooted and grounded in feelings, but feelings cannot be taught. When one does not have principles, and they are in a relationship with feelings, and if they don't have a good understanding and foundation, all they know how to do is mimic what the person that was talking to them have done. So he goes on, beware of the false teachers. uses good imagery and historical examples of their destructive nature. Having a good time, but no foundation. So tonight, we'll keep on keeping strong in the faith. Build yourself up in your faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Stay in God's love. And it encourages the believer to focus on your own personal spiritual birth.
Amen.
Spiritual growth. Spiritual responsibilities. And mandate of the spiritual commission to go and make disciples of all nations. I'm going to turn it now over to Brother Albert. He's going to take us through the remaining verses and give us some good insights, and then we'll come back later. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, Pastor. I just want to start this evening due to so much meat on this lesson tonight. We want to go ahead and get started with Jude. We left off, and just want to enlighten you on a couple of reasons from last week why we should be mindful of our walk and who we following in this life, because he said these false prophets, they are twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raves and waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So they have their place in Sheol, hell, and they already, they know that they are not walking with God, but they have a form of godliness. And they have denied the power of God. They have come about to establishing their own righteousness, Pastor Story said. And then we pick it up in 14, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. And we know it in verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Jews speaking out the book of Enoch, we realize that it was destroyed by Jews at a certain point in time, but he's bringing a little elaboration from there that God is coming back, and he's coming back with the saints to execute judgment upon these ungodly men. He said he specified ungodly among them, all of ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. So these guys are operating in uniform in their own way, and they are bringing glory and they blasphemy against the truth of God's word. And if we could look back on Saul of Tarsus, he was under that Pharisee's leadership, and he was under Gamaliel teaching. They were leaving out Jesus in their teachings, but they had uniform services, schools, building them up. But Paul, that Saul was converted and became a teacher to remind us that Jesus is the way. And verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. In other words, they had the words to say to draw others to them. great swelling word. As I say, uniform. It looks so much like, but I'm glad that Matthew said that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. But it ain't possible, because when they say elect, that means that them that are sealed in the promises of God. So I'm just thankful this evening that God, Jude, is enlightening us, that we don't have to turn to the left or right but to find God. He's already in us, and he is present with us. And then he go on to say, we must stay in the love of God. Verse 17 say, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. So we already know ahead of time. And how do I know? Because I attend to the will of God, the word of God. How do I know? Because the Spirit of God bears witness to his truth. How do I know? Because the word of God tells me so. So if I abide in the word, the only way I can trust God is through his word. So if we're not fellowshipping with him through his word, we're going to be blown away with every wind and doctrine that come our way. Because we pray and pray and pray, but though do we give God time to speak to us? So if we're not giving God time to speak to us and we're just dumping everything we want on him, without coming to his word and allow him to speak to us, then we could be operating up under the wrong leadership, thanks of God, because in leadership, we going to be pointing you to the word of God, not to our nice houses, our nice cars, our nice clothes, our riches, and we'll be pointing you to the word of God. And then we say in 18, how they know, they should have that. They told you, as I just said, in time past, walking out their own ungodly lust, trying to get people to see what they do, who they are. And is it, and the Bible says something that they will stand before God, and he'll say, I've done this in your name, I've done that in your name. But he going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. And that's a key word, having not the Spirit. We can walk like a Christian. We can dress like a Christian, look like a Christian, sound like a Christian, and maybe smell like a Christian. But if we don't have the Spirit of God in us, we would be drawn away again by our own lust. But ye, beloved, like this, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In other words, don't set your eyes up on those false prophets to the point that they would pull you away. Because if you look at something and dwell on something too long, it's going to get in your mind, and it's and just a little leaven would lead you out and across the wrong path. But he said, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So in other words, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying, I got to be in the Spirit to pray to God. Because if I'm not in the Spirit, I'm praying in my flesh. And I heard John 6:63 say, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Now, how do I know when I'm praying in the Spirit? When I'm praying according to the will of God. And we say, Lord, let not my will be done, but thy will be done. So if we want God's will to be done, We must build ourselves up in the most holy faith. How do we do that? By abiding in the will of God, not part-time. God ain't looking for popcorn service. He's looking for the members that are serve him daily, not when you feel like it, not when somebody wind you up in the church and then you start popping and jumping. It's like a jack-in-the-box. You wind a jack-in-the-box up, and he pop out. But though this ain't the type of Christian God looking for. He's looking for Christians that have committed themselves and dedicated themselves, and as they continue in the word, they are dying to themselves, that the Holy Spirit may manifest himself, that it may bring glory to God. And he said, keeping yourselves in the love of God. What are you saying? Keep yourself in the love. The Bible plainly says that if you love me, keep my commandments. Other words, abide in his commandments. Abide in the word. When you're abiding in the word, amen, the Holy Spirit got something to work with. He can't work with my opinion. He can't work with my feelings. He can't work with me jumping around and distracting everybody. He can work with me when I submit myself to the Lord and the Holy Spirit rise up and manifest himself, and then the people will begin to see the light, and they may say, what must I do to be saved? Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Every morning I wake up, I'm looking that for the mercies of God, because it's a new day of dawning. And when I wake up, I thank God for his mercies, because his mercies are new every morning. In other words, I don't have to dwell on what happened yesterday. I can drive down the King's Highway thanking him for a new day and a new opportunity to bring glory to his name. And for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In other words, I got to stay there. I can't go out and say, well, I'm going to go and party for a while and hang out with them because he ain't came back yet. Now, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I encourage the saints of God to hold on. As verse 22 saying, of some have compassion, making a difference. Hold on so you can make a difference in somebody else's life. That's because the false teachers are out there, and the ones that being deceived, we can't sit back and judge them. We got to seek out an opportunity, seek out a way to go in that fire and rescue them out of that fire, because God have given us what it takes to help win souls. And you can win them out of the fire if we don't go judging them and throwing them away and saying, well, they doing this or they doing that. We don't give up on them. We don't count them out. I heard Revelation 3 say, strengthen what remains. If they got something in them that's of God, just feed that point. Don't judge them. Don't condemn them. Just feed the part of them that remains that God, that we can strengthen and help them to wake up and get a mindset that it ain't for one way out. And John tells us, John 14:6 says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by me. Verse 23, and he's saying, and others saved with fear, reverence. That's where I've been ahead of out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I heard Paul say in 2 Corinthians 5:16, therefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, for we once knew Christ after the flesh, know ye him no more. But verse 17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. So we don't dwell on the flesh. We got to have hope that the words of God that we're sharing with people and the seeds that we're spreading, they're going to take root in some heart, and we got to keep the faith. And he say, but realizing that God is able to deliver them, we must keep the faith, keep sowing the word. We can't dwell and sow on what they're doing. We got to sow and know what we are called to do. Why? Because why do I need to know what I'm called to do? I need to know because there's hope if I know my calling. If I stay in my calling, I'm still operating in hope. But if I get in my feelings, I'm operating in I think or I don't believe. Because if I continue to believe, and I hear the Lord Jude saying in 24, if I keep believing that my sister or brother is going to come out of that fire, if I keep believing that I can rescue my mama, dad, or whoever it is that's in that system of unbelief and following those false doctrines, he say, if I keep believing that now unto him, now that's the greater one, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Other words, when a mountain climber began to climb a mountain and the baby new mountain climber come, the one that's professional, he locked the immature mountain climber onto him. And when he slipped, he ain't going to fall to his death because he locked on to the professional mountain climber. So I'm here to tell you that we ain't got to worry about falling, saints of God, because God got us. I heard him say in Ephesians 1:13, after we receive the word of truth, now, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that good news, saints?
Yes.
To be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And if we stay focused on our calling, amen, we can help somebody else and not fall. And amen, we can help somebody else come to know the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior. In other words, and to be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. We know that he's acknowledging who God is. He's the only wise God, the only one that's able, our Savior, our Deliverer. Be glory. In other words, we go acknowledge him in all our ways. And I heard the writer say, he will direct our path. And he has dominion and power, not just for a little while, but he said, but for now and forever. And if I could say anything in my closing prayer, I would say, Lord, help us to stay in harmony with you, because the world is blowing so much wind and doctrine right now that if we are not in harmony with God, we would be led away with all of this other doctrine, and so many, and we will be operating in fear. And if we operate in fear of what the other voices are saying, amen, the Bible says fear torments us. It causes us to run to the left or to the right. But I heard him say in his word that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, glory to God, and a sound mind. Amen. So I believe I'm going to continue in the guide map of the one that leads from earth to glory this evening. And I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Sturry because I feel like going on, but I'm just going to turn it on over. Pastor
right.
Sturry.
Amen. 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 One or two things I'm going to say about this, and we're going to have some dialogue here further in a minute. But one of the key things about the false prophets is that they are seeking to undercut the mission of Jesus came to seek and save those that are lost. They're very similar to what happened in Matthew 4, where Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent for the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
So the kingdom that he came to bring all of us into came alive. And all of the writers are warning against one of the greatest attacks on the kingdom culture is bringing glory to self. That's how the serpent deceived Eve. He didn't tell her that he would get glory and power from her disobedience. He told her she would get an elevation. She would have knowledge like God. She wouldn't have to be under his authority anymore. She would have the knowledge necessary to be her own God. One other thing I'll say about that is we looked over in Genesis, I believe, chapter 11, when the people of God was building a tower to heaven, the Tower of Babel. And God said to himself and the Godhead, he said, let us go down and confuse their language. That's very key. Yeah, see, the key to knowledge is words with understanding. Wisdom come forward from understanding words and having them in common. Our true wisdom is having understanding in common with God's word. But what they were seeking to do, and they had this authority and power, they understood each other, and they had everything in common. So God said, let us go down and confuse their language, which would further confuse their understanding. And if their understanding is confused, they will scatter. So this is the attack the body of Christ is under from false teachers, is there's been a little bit of leaven, a little bit of emotionalism when there ought to be principles, methods that appeases the flesh, brings attention to the vessel rather than to the word or to him who is initiating the kingdom of God. He didn't come that he came that we can be reunited in our rightful place in the right relationship with the Father. He brings us back into right relationship through himself, Jesus. So our identity and our position is in Christ Jesus. So I'm not going to go much further here. Sister Deborah, we talked earlier, and I understand some pointed questions need to be addressed that we can sort of look at. How is this insidious peril able to come into the body of Christ and have such a stronghold in 2024? So I'm going to let Sister Deborah direct us as we have a conversation about what are the 2024 perils that are causing such an uproar in the body of Christ and leading some, and as Brother Albert said, even the elect would possibly turn away from the kind of force and power and influence the false teachers are having in our culture. Sister Deborah, I turn to you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Charles, and Pastor Albert, for just opening again and bringing us near a conclusion of looking at Jude, but also making us aware that even though we may close out this study, that the intent of the study is to identify the things that we as believers need to be made very much aware of, and it is false teachers and false doctrine and false teaching. One of the things that I asked, if you don't mind, again, is to, and I know others have questions as well, you all did such a great job in highlighting the false teachers and the portrait, really, of false teachers. Do you mind if you would, please, just give us the three or four things as we look at false teachers, a description of them, just three or four of them as we look at the portrait of false teachers.
two or three things I'll highlight here, characteristics of a, see, they don't have a big F on their chest. They seem like they have the best interest of those they're speaking to, because what they're offering is a ministry to the feelings rather than a ministry to the heart. See, the principles are heartfelt, but Romans 10:9-10, it said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. So they minister to the feelings rather than the principles. So some of the characteristics of a false teacher, you're going to see a good bit of self-centeredness. It's going to be a little different from what scriptures say, but it's going to be presented in such a way that the person becomes more important than the word. They will communicate in such a way that touches the emotions. We did a study on emotions, that chemicals in the brain, stimulus in the brain produces actions that feed into the brain, and the brain feeds off of a substance called dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, and all of these chemicals in the brain, everybody has them, and they are stimulated. And what has happened is the deceivers have led you to believe that's God working rather than your emotions. So to do this effectively, the definition of Holy Spirit had to be altered. If you ask one in any walk of life about Holy Spirit, they would lead you to believe, those who have not studied, they would believe Holy Spirit is a stimulus who causes you to be out of control, causes you to perform disruptive activities in the midst of the teachings that brings attention to yourself, but it makes you feel in such a way that you just can't hold yourself. But we go back to scripture and we see that he is a teacher. He's God. He is orderly. He's full of the word, and he reminds you of what Jesus has said. All of the biblical characteristics of Holy Spirit varies from those who are seeking to incite the vessel to have a feeling. And Paul talked about it in Romans 10:5, I believe, as he was talking to the church at Rome. He said, y'all have a zeal. Y'all have all kind of emotions. You have all kind of dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, and adrenaline. But you don't have no knowledge. You can't teach feelings, and you can't use feelings to communicate Matthew 28:18-20. It has to be based on principles. When we're teaching others, bringing light to dark situations, it's the word which is a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. I, as long as I've been living, have not been able to teach even my children. I can teach them principles, but I have difficulty teaching them how to feel. That's just a somewhat snippet of the core of what false teachers operate from. They operate from a place of methods, emotions, traditions that are not grounded in the word, close to the word, but have changed the definition. As I went back to Genesis 11, God said to the Godhead, he said, because they have the language and understanding in common, there is nothing that they can't accomplish. So he had to confuse the language so they didn't understand each other. So this is an insidious approach that is grounded in evil to distract, distort, and keep the believers off the mission. as long as they're learning new dance steps in their worship service, they don't have time to learn how to apply the plan of salvation. They're too busy enjoying themselves with the adrenaline, the serotonin, oxytocin. They feel good, but as far as the kingdom of God, they have no purpose. Amen.
And thank you, Pastor Charles, for that in terms of the portrait of the false teachers. But go back to something you may have said at the beginning of our study of even maybe Second Peter or Jude, where you talked about we as believers should be like the Bereans. Talk to us a little bit about that scripture.
And Luke accented them in the book of Acts. He said he compared them to those at Thessalonica. They were a little rebellious over there. And he said that the Bereans did an autopsy on the word daily. And their purpose was not just to be the smartest ones on the block, but they were using this study to enhance their understanding on how to carry out the mandate of making disciples of all nations so others could be saved. That was their mission. I was reading something the other day. It said if any person choose any topic and they delve themselves into it daily and read everything they could read about it every day for a year, at the end of that year, they will be considered in the top 10 percentile in the world on that topic. Can you imagine what it would be like if the disciples of Christ did a deep dive on understanding their identity as a believer, the responsibilities of a believer, and how to carry out what I've been commissioned to do as a believer, making disciples of all nations? If I studied that 365 days, continually studying new writers, new understanding, I would be considered in the top 10% in the world. So back to the Bereans again. They committed themselves to the word. And see, this was before there was a composite of the 66 books. They were studying scrolls. And they were also studying oral presentations. So we have a distinct advantage over the Bereans. We got translations. We got as many as 100 different translations of the Holy Scripture. And we can turn from one to the other. We can compare. We can look at it in the Greek, in the Hebrew, and all the other languages that it has been printed in. So we have more to study and compare, but they committed themselves because they were so serious about the mission. Amen.
Amen. And I only ask that question to my brothers and sisters that are joining with us tonight, is that leads us to what is the strategy of the believer? I mean, we've talked about the portrait of a false teacher, what they look like, what are their characteristics, what they do to try to draw you, but talk to us a little bit more succinctly in terms of, so I am a believer and I'm going to church on Sundays, or I'm at my job. Let's use that as an example. And I'm at my job and there's a discussion going on in the office. Or I take my children to the fair, and there's this group of men and women standing, and they're pulling people in to hear what they're saying. What is the strategy for me as a believer when I hear this, when I hear false doctrine? The ability for my antenna to go up and say, wait a minute. No, this doesn't align to the word of God. No, this is not what God is saying. This is an opinion. This is a,
a doctrine. This is a false doctrine that's trying to draw us away. So how do I defend myself? I know Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, but all of this is coming at me in 2024. And to be honest with you, it sounds good. Help me as a believer.
And that's the other part of the relationship. And this is one of those other things where false teachers, as I said earlier, if you mischaracterize Holy Spirit, I don't know what an advocate and a helper he is in these kind of situations. I have been led, and some of you may have had the same experience, when Holy Spirit's name is mentioned, number one, he's called it. Everybody else is called a he. But it's popular among many, even the believers, to call him God and it. So we're intimate with him because he resides inside of me. Let me just give an aside about how important that is to understand. When God created mankind to have dominion and be fruitful and multiply in the earth realm, he made earth a place for physical bodies to inhabit spirits. Spirits could not come into the earth realm without possessing a body. So I had to understand that as a believer, that Holy Spirit, this is another one of those false teachers kind of things that they play on the minds of those who are not studying. They lead one to believe that Holy Spirit inhabits a building. If God sent his spirit into a building and not into a vessel, he'd violate his own law. The evil spirit has to have a vessel to possess. Case in point, in Gadara, when the man with the thousands of demons, 2,000 legion, when they were cast out, they couldn't just exist without a host. So they were cast into the pigs. So the pigs died. And the other thing about spirits, they have to possess a living being. That's not the lesson right here, but I want you to go back and look at that in that rendition. If they were driven out of the people, out of the pigs, where did they go? They went into the people in the city. How you know that? Because after all this was over, they said to Jesus, "We want you to leave." That's another sign of false prophets, or those that are contrary to the will and the way of God. They don't have no room for Jesus. Back to the Holy Spirit situation here. All right. When there's confusion, there's a lack of effectiveness. If there are those singing songs and praying prayers saying, "Holy Spirit, come on into the room." Well, that's a violation of scripture. Holy Spirit, the only time he came into the upper room, he was on his way to the vessels that were sitting there tarrying and waiting. I'm hearing people talking about tarrying sessions where we're going to tarry for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a gift given by God to those who have experienced a new birth and came alive by faith in Christ Jesus. Then they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. These are the things the Bereans were studying and communicating, and they were able to do mighty work in the world of seeking and saving those that are lost. So to offset, to cut them off at the path, grounded in my most holy faith, but back to that other point, knowing that in John 14 and 12, Jesus said, "I was sent greater works that you were able to do because I've gone to sit with my Father, but I have not left you without a comforter. I've sent you another just like me." So God, Holy Spirit, that's the missing understanding in many vessels, is understanding how he works in the heart of a yielded vessel who has came to life by faith in Christ Jesus. Now I have power. Acts 1:8 said I had power. And you shall receive power. When the Holy Spirit come and live inside of you, this empowers you to go and make disciples. Can't make no disciples unless you do like the Bereans. Study, dissect, do an autopsy on the word daily. And then I don't have to know what to say. He'll remind me what to say. He'll bring back to my remembrance. It's a supernatural transformation of God on the inside of me going to do a supernatural task of making disciples of all nations. And then at the end of all that, he's promising to return himself, Jesus is. And he's looking for me with great expectation. And then he says, in his new heaven, new earth, no dying, no crying, all the things that have been a deterrent, but it's the great expectation of his return to claim the totality of his kingdom, and we'll live, rule, and reign with him forever. So it's knowing the identity, but knowing him on the inside of me and what powers I have to carry it out, because this is the other thing about the earth realm. God is looking for yielded vessels to do this work through. He could have done it all himself because he's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He has the authority and power to do it all. But he has so much love for us and so much expectation of us, and he created this earth realm for us to have dominion, to rule and to reign. And now he has brought his kingdom where we have a vital role in the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. Now we are empowered to go with the power, with the end already been decided. Now we just allow Holy Spirit to work through us with an understanding of who he is and what he does. Amen.
Amen, amen. I'm going to open it up for others on the line tonight that may have comments or questions. This is certainly an opportunity for us to get our questions out, because we are dealing with this throughout our community. I'm going to give you the scripture, Acts 17:11 is the scripture that speaks of the Bereans, where the Bereans searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas was teaching the truth. So that's Acts chapter 17, verse number 11. So again, I'm going to open the line up for questions tonight and comments. I know that you have them. So Deacon Connor, I will kind of host this question and answer period. Now we're open for other questions for those that are listening. And comments.
Good evening, church.
Amen.
My comment is, the Pharisee was such a bad person, if you look at it. But they carried the wrong message. After the coming of Christ, they should have followed after Jesus the Christ and not after old Masonic law, which revealed our sin.
Mm-hmm.
If they could have believed the Old Testament, they should have been able to believe the New. Because God said in Luke 9:35, and there came a voice out of the cloud, my beloved son, heal him. Paul, Saul, before he came Paul, he was out to kill Christians. Before he met Christ, but after he met Christ, he changed his way of living. My question to you, what changes have you made?
And see, you hit a good point there. on the road when he was struck blind, a lot of emotions probably went forward. Who art thou? I'm Jesus, whom I persecuted. A lot of emotions. But he wasn't ready to go take on his new task yet, was he?
Nope.
To go to, keep on your route and go to a street named Straight, and you'll meet a man named Ananias. And as much as you've been doing, you thought you know something, but you got scales over your eyes. You're blind. And Scripture bears out that it was 2 years or better that he, as smart as he was now, 2 years he spent with Ananias leading him just like the Bereans, line by line, precept by precept, and he got an understanding. And after he got an understanding, there was nothing could hold him back. But he was of no value to the kingdom till he got good understanding. Amen. Let me talk about that one more time. The parable of the sower and the four sowers. You had the wayside. You had the sandy soil, rocky soil. Then you had the thorny soil, and you had the good soil. And I just want to talk about that wayside, hard soil. They said, sowed the seeds there, and there was the soil hadn't been broke up. It was hard. And they said the bird came and ate it up before they even had a chance to do anything. And Jesus explained it. He said, now, the seed sown on the hard soil is one who the evil one snatches it before they had any chance of understanding. They were excited to have seed sown, but they didn't have any softness of the soil for it to have a chance to even get below the surface, but the evil one snatches it. And that's one of the collaborators with the false teachers, is that if understanding be snatched after they shake the preacher's hand, whatever role process they may go through, as long as believers don't understand, there's no danger of fruit being bad. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any other questions tonight or comments? Amen. Any other
questions?
Come on, sister.
Okay. Saul experience on the road to Damascus, was that before the resurrection of Christ or after?
That's after.
Was that during Christ's walk?
That was after. This,
okay.
This was a supernatural kind of Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He manifested himself at that scene, as the Scripture recorded it. He said, this is Jesus whom thou persecuted. But yes, and see, salvation would not have been available until Jesus had finished his work, won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And now we could boldly, all of us, come to the throne of grace because he had to satisfy the Father's requirement of death, the wages of sin being death. So he took on sin, past, present, and future, of all mankind. And those of us had eternal life in the kingdom, who died to our old nature and became born again in him. Then he presents us to the Father as righteous, not because of our deeds, and that's the missing link here. The law was based on human effort. All humans fail to meet the requirement. Jesus came in human form to be able to satisfy the Father's requirement. And then in godly form, he presented himself, human form, for the sacrifice. godly form to win the victory for us, and then now sits on the right hand with us in tow in him. So our position in him brings us to the position of power that we can now be inhabitants of his kingdom here on earth, and we can be entrusted to carry out the family business to make disciples of all nations. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that question. Amen. Anyone else this evening? A question or a comment on tonight? Question or a comment or word of encouragement on how the teaching through from 2 Peter to Jude has certainly helped you, enlighten you, and also open our eyes of understanding on how to be able to identify false teaching. Any other questions or comments tonight?
Let me go back to the Bereans. And I want to show a pattern here of information, imagination, desire, and the right actions. All humanity is capable of receiving the information. This is, and information is knowledge, and it's considered to be factual. And this is what provides a foundation for our understanding on how we're going to deal with whatever we're going to deal with. So Holy Spirit moves through the mind of vessels and captures our imagination. And then he takes the data, the information that's been gathered, and he uses our imagination to envision in our mind's eye, see a picture of this spiritual relationship that we have now with the Father through the finished works of Jesus. And then Scripture help our imagination by giving us what are the possibilities that exist by believing in him. And it also, John 3:16, he takes over our imagination. Then he tells us about the possibilities and outcomes, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then because of this imagination under the guise of Holy Spirit, I can think in a new way of how I can utilize what's been made available to me to achieve my mission. Now, imagination works closely with my desires. My desires have to become under the control of Holy Spirit, that my old desires have no place in my new nature. My new desire is to do the Father's will, to be obedient and submissive to his word, his will, and his way. Now, with my desire in line, my imagination in line, now my actions is a result of my desires and what I have imagined. And because I have the power of the Holy Spirit driving me, my steps are ordered by the Lord. So the steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. How do I walk? The walk, the word is what I walk by. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's a cycle. It's a cycle of relationships. It starts with hearing the word, being convicted, internalizing the word to be my lamp and my light, believing. And the way I process believing, some say it's just an operation of the mind. I take this over that. But believing really means to live in it. Whatever I believe is what I live in. That's my philosophy. That's what I pattern all of my desires by, is that word. I pattern my imagination based on the word, which leads to my actions being consistent with the word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charles, for going back to that. Amen. Any questions or comments? I'm going to ask if we have ministers or pastors on the line that would like to provide their words of encouragement or feedback on tonight, please do. Like I say, we are dealing with this topic today in 2024, and we want to be certainly equipped to be able to identify, but also be equipped in terms of the strategies that we must use as believers. Pastor Albert did such a great job when he talked about we must build ourselves up when we looked at verse 20, and then we pray, we must pray in the Holy Spirit as well as we must abide in the love of God, knowing that we as disciples of Christ, and I always say this, though, we made the Romans 10:9-10 sincere declaration, and that we are connected to the true vine. So there are strategies that we must use as believers as we face false doctrine, false teachers, false prophets, as we go in our day-to-day life. So again, just want to thank you all for coming. Last time, I'm going to ask, before we move to our prayers of agreement tonight based on the word or any brag on God reports tonight, we want to ask one more time, are there any comments from others on the line tonight?
Pastor, I tried before but realized that my phone was still on mute.
Pastor, come on now.
I've got a couple of comments, but I want to ask the pastor. I'm not clear on what he just said about our vision and our imagination. I know, okay. You know, the Bible said that the old men would have dreams, young men see vision. So can you clarify that a little bit for me? I'm sorry, I didn't quite grasp.
What I'm working with here is information, imagination, desire, and the actions that come about from that process. So whatever one processes into action, it started with receiving data through a portal of the mind, whether it be through the eyes, the ears, or even through feelings. And when these information, then the mind takes over on the information that's been gathered, and it started planning on how we're going to utilize this information to reach our objectives. And within our mindset, we have something called desire. In our old nature, our desire was to please ourselves and elevate ourselves. Even under the law, it was the arm of the flesh that was operative rather than the spirit man. Now that salvation has quickened my spirit and my desires change, because my desire is to be submissive and obedient to him. I want to do a little shift on the side. We'll notice back in the garden when Eve was processing the information the serpent had gave her, they said she looked upon the fruit and she desired it. But see, armed with that desire for what it would taste like and how it would elevate her thinking, it also took her from a place of obedience and submission to disobedience and death. So actions come about from how we employ our imagination after we receive information. What did the imagination, what picture did it formulate? And what desire am I operating from? Is it old nature, or is it the new nature that is aligned with the will and the way of the Father? Then my steps are ordered because I'm in right standing. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So I laid that out as a pattern or a blueprint of properly handling information to lead to the proper action. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So are you saying, for instance, Holy Spirit deals with me a lot in dreams and visions. For instance, I had a vision. Is that vision coming from my imagination or is it coming from the Holy Spirit? I had a vision of a young man. I saw him. He was covered in like a hood, and he was troubled. He was in trouble, and I saw his face plainly, even though he was hooded, and he was barely getting along. And I had a call to go to the hospital to pray for a young man that had been 33 years old. He had been sick, and he came suddenly. He got down where he couldn't eat. And they had him there, and they were running all kind of tests, and tests was not showing them anything. So I would call to the hospital to pray for this young man. And when I entered the door, his back was, he was in the bed, but his back was to the door. I saw him in a vision, just could barely go. I saw his face. And when I entered the door of the hospital room, and his back was to the door, so when I walked around, I almost stumbled back, because this was the exact same man I saw in a vision. And we had opportunity to pray with him and lead him to the Lord. But I'm saying, it's what you saying, that the vision that we receive, is it coming from out of our imagination, used by the Holy Spirit, or does the Holy Spirit itself give this to you?
Now, that's a difficult question to provide an accurate answer to, because as I understand him, Holy Spirit, he comes into yielded vessels, and he has reign as much as submitted to. And in your position, he spoke to you and gave you the insight. What I was doing was a general conversation about how information affects, leads into what is imagined. An image, a picture in the mind, and how the desires, the new desire in my new identity will lead to the actions properly to carry out my commission. But back to your question, I would never doubt or say what Holy Spirit cannot do or did not do, because as long as it's consistent with his mission, and ultimately, he is, Acts 1:8, empowering the vessels to be a witness in the hospital in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all other parts in the world. So the way you related that, that's consistent with his identity, leading to that Acts 1:8 mandate. That's what I believe. Amen.
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 Amen. If I could, I appreciate that, Pastor.
Amen.
Concerning the false prophets and concerning the believers, that the scripture said that if it was possible, they would deceive the very elect. That lets us know that they have some type of knowledge. It's not according to the word of God. He said that they are ignorant, you know, to the righteousness of God, but they are not ignorant altogether in how they twist and use words, great swelling words, the scripture says. They have a play with words, and they will even do that with the word of God. They will take a word and they will talk about this and that, and they will twist it, and they will play with that word, and they're able to have people, you know, Paul said one time that the Gamaliel said one time that Paul had almost persuaded him. And so these people play with words, great swelling words, the Bible say, that they speak. And he said they go the way of Cain and the way of Abel and the way of Cain. There's two mm-hmm. things there, the way of Abel, the way of Cain. And it just comes down to simply come down to belief and unbelief. And they have not, they've been ignorant concerning the ways of God and how God saves and how God draws and how God deliver and how God set free. So they've not submitted themselves to it. So they dream up their own things. They come up with their own interpretation, which the scripture says that the word of God is of no private interpretation. But we have to know the enemy. We have to know how they work. They play on words. And so we have to not be ignorant to the word of God. We have to not be ignorant to the scriptures. Keep hearing Pastor Singleton talk about the Bereans. That you get into that word and that we not only read the Bible. I hear people say all the time, I read my Bible. Even a passage they say they read, they cannot explain what that means. And so about out of all our getting, we got to get understanding. We have to understand what the word of God is really saying. And even in order to do the word, we must have a good understanding of the word. And so when we look at the false teachers and things, and we can see that they're ignorant concerning the word of God. And so we must immerse ourselves in that word and have understanding, know what it is the word is saying, because before we can even do it, we must know what it says. But I just wanted to add that to what you pastors have said, that these false, they go the way of Cain, unbelief. They are ignorant. They don't believe what God says, so they try to establish their own, and they do this to their own desire and what they are trying to get, their own lust and things like that. So where they are into their own things, we must be into the word of God, and that's how we're going to counter those things, by not just reading the word, but studying the word, by searching the scriptures. He said, search the scriptures, for in them, the word of God, we think that we have eternal life. So that is truly our basic instructions before leaving earth. That is what we should get ourselves into, to their own righteousness, trying to establish their own righteousness. And we are submitted to the righteousness of God, and we must make sure that we are definitely and completely submitted to God and his way of doing things. And I heard you talking about the steps being ordered, that we are following Christ, and we're going on the word of Christ. We're going on this information that we have in the earth that will lead us to glory. And because there are two ways, the way of Cain is the way of unbelief. It's the way of doing their own thing and you know, bringing glory and honor to themselves. But we as the people of God, we can't be turned away by great swelling words. Even the Apostle Paul said, I did not come to you with enticing words and man's wisdom. He said, but I came in power, talking about the Acts 1:8. I came in power and demonstration. And even Jesus Christ himself, in his teaching as he walked the earth, he came in power and demonstration. And you know, and we have to be careful, because we don't want to be like, you know, Moses throwing down his rod, and the magician can do the same thing, but be led by the Spirit of God. And then when we recognize these false prophets, because they've not submitted to God, we must be submitted. And I just thank God for your teaching. Thank God for each of you. And I thank God for each of you that are on the line, every male, every female. We thank God for you, for the part you play in the kingdom of God. Pray that each of you will have a great rest of your week.
Let me share this little nugget as a postscript to all that you shared there, Apostle. One of the caveats of deception when you are attempting to get someone to go along with your deception is to offer them something for their participation. Part of how the false teachers function is to give some sense of elevation. The master teacher of this was Lucifer himself. For Jesus to honor him, he was going to give, turn, he said, if you turn the stones into to bread, I'm going to let you eat it, and you can prove to me who you are. He would be obeying the serpent or Lucifer more than he would be his father. Then he talked about giving him authority over the high buildings. Fall down and worship me. So one of the caveats of the deceiver is to give you something that make your flesh happy. And this is what I'm saying. I want y'all to hear me clearly. In the culture that many of us worship in, the false teachers are the puppeteer. They know the sounds and how to organize their organists to produce a tune that make your body move in such a way that you think it's God. But he don't have to use not one word of scripture. He can just talk about anything. And the sound will cause the response. Once he gets you hooked on the adrenaline flow that comes from that, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. All he has to do is just tell the organist to play the tune. The hands go to waving. People go to standing. They go to making proclamations. Had the word been spoken, their flesh has been motivated, titillated, and the word did not come to please the flesh. It is spirit, and those who receive and worship must receive it in spirit and in truth. Sister Deborah, I'm going to give it back to you. I don't need to talk no more. Amen.
Amen.
Pass the story, if you would. What do we do when we encounter false prophets that are not inside a building? They're on the street there. They don't have the music. They don't have the keyboard, the organist, the guitar, the drums. How does that work with those that are not utilizing the music? What are they being propelled forward with?
They're going to have a hook. There's some hook that's going to draw the person. And there, some of us may not be drawn by, in many cases, it's sensationalism. Whatever your, just like you talked about Moses and the magicians and the serpent, eating up that serpent as a display of power. I don't want anyone to be deceived that there are those who operate in a spirit of darkness do have powers that they exhibit on occasion. And if one is, you see, one of the ways of trickery is to deceive you into believing what you thought you saw and is not what you thought it was, affecting the imagination. But we're not led by our imagination, but by the word. Back to the Bereans again, searching the scripture, living by the scripture, and trying everything by the word. I can't say enough about studying to show ourselves approved unto God as a workman. That needeth not be ashamed. What would make me ashamed is the word being presented and I didn't get understanding. And I not got understanding. Then I attempted to tell someone else what I didn't understand and mislead them.
Amen.
Blind beat the blind, they all fall in a ditch. Amen.
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 Amen. I can say tonight was great. How you guys asked the question, the call and response. So basically what I got from everything tonight was, be cautious, be aware of the offering of the fall, and ask God to help you and cover you so you can stay firm in your offering of worship. Because the offering of fall is going to come with the false prophet, the false teacher. He's going to offer something for the fall. But we just have to stand firm on God that we can always have a way that we can stand firm on the offering of worship. Thank you.
And one thing I would like to add that I've understood in this walk, I can't wait until I have perfected sharing the plan of salvation. Paul of Tarsus, after he started to share, the thing that he had experienced is what he shared. He said, I don't know all the things to know, but I tell you, I was on my way to Damascus to persecute the church, and a bright light knocked me off my horse. And I said, who art thou? And on and on and on. If I have been saved by the word instructed properly, driven by the Spirit of God, I ought to know how I got there.
That's right.
If I can't tell you how to get there, it's a good possibility I don't know how to get there.
Amen. Amen.
My Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
Go ahead. I don't want Brother Albert to be left out of the conversation, so I just back to Sister Deborah as she was facilitating.
Mm-hmm.
I want Brother Albert to have to do that. So he's carried this thing very well, and I'd be such a talk a lot that he didn't get a chance to say anything on those matters.
Amen, amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Kuiper to come in. He has been so gracious to let others come ahead of him. I'm going to ask him to share. I know that our conversation may be a little bit lengthier, our walk in the Word. Let me say that, not conversation, but our walk in the Word. But I want you all to know that this will be one of the recordings that is going to go a little bit further than our other recordings have. So please ask questions. Please make comments, because someone else needs to hear this discussion on tonight to help them. Pastor Kuiper.
Amen. Amen. Brothers, sisters, I really appreciate, like I said, being on the line tonight, and Pastor Charles and Pastor Albert, as you have guided us through these teachings on watching out for false teachers and false prophets. That's been a blessing. But I want to kind of let you all know that I know, Brother Albert, I didn't get a chance to meet you face to face. But I got a chance to meet Pastor Charles and Sister Story face to face. I also had an opportunity to meet Uncle John face-to-face. And, of course, there are other saints that I've seen before and some that came up to me on Saturday, and I had an opportunity to speak with them, hug them, and share with them. And that was such a blessing to me. I have to talk a little bit about it in this sense, because when we talk about false teachers, we're talking about the kingdom of God and the preaching and teaching of the gospel and the spreading of the gospel so that souls might be saved. But I do want to make sure that I let you all know that, you know, there are emotions that we express. And I enjoy expressing those emotions, especially when I saw, when I realized who Pastor Charles was, that was of some excitement to me. And Sister Story, and then Uncle John, and, of course, Brother Everett and Apostle Asai, and all the people that we talked to. So that's a joy that we have. So that we want to make sure we do have an opportunity to express our joy. But yet when it comes to the understanding of the whole of Holy Spirit walking in our lives and ruling in our lives, we want to be able to do that, because I know that the spirit of the prophet is and is subjected to the prophet. So we have to be able to put those things in the context. But I just cannot let this go because I don't want. It's nothing I could add to what's been said. I just want to add a little expression of my appreciation, love, and joy of just seeing you all face to face. It's an experience that I'm always remembered, and I heard Deacon Carter said we're going to do it again. And so I look forward to that time, that we do it again, that we have an opportunity to fellowship. And in our fellowshipping with each other in the breaking of bread and just getting to see each other and share a few things about each other. And I thank God for you even going an extra mile, I understand it, on the Sunday and sharing with people in the ministry that Dr. Singleton did and that God had blessed and moved mightily in that work as well. So we just thank God for all that you all are doing and you do for the kingdom of God. And we thank God for all the saints on the line. But y'all forgive me sometime if I cry. Forgive me sometime if I feel like I need to shout. So there's an expression of joy that comes from my soul. But yet we don't let our emotions guide us, and we have to be aware of these teachers. And a lot of what you said tonight and a lot that you've been saying over these couple of weeks as you and Pastor Albert have been sharing, you know, we look around and we see so much of this happening in the body of Christ, in the church. And even Apostle took it to the street. She said, even on the street, I can run into a false prophet. There are some people on the street that are trying to give a false gospel. And so we run into those individuals on the street as well as in the building. And so this has equipped us to be aware, and it should heighten our senses to be aware spiritually. And as Holy Spirit comes alongside of us to teach us all these things and to guide us, like you said, he'll give us what we need to speak at the time. We need to recall it. So I mix that in here because I have joy. When I'm listening on the line now, I said, I know him. I've seen him face to face. I know her. I've seen her face to face. So I got joy. So I want to share that with y'all tonight, too, that the expression of joy is having the opportunity to meet all of you and hopefully get a chance to do it again sometime in the near future. And I look forward to us coming together to share in fellowship, and I also look forward to the line as you all share the gospel and the teachings of the scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit that operates in your life. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Any other comments before Brother Albert comes and we near and move towards our prayer requests based on the word? And certainly shout out tonight. This has been an awesome study, walking from 2 Peter, as a matter of fact, walking from James to 1 Peter to 2 Peter and then to Jude. Any other questions or comments? We've had some great questions tonight that I had on my list, and they were asked by you and commented on by you. Anyone else tonight? Pastor Albert.
Yes, ma'am. All right. I just want to thank God for the opportunity to be able to share and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through this time of the guys inviting us on to facilitate and share the word of God. And I'm very grateful as it has brought me to a new mindset in Christ. I move forward dealing with now of this study, the manifestation of clarity has come. And so I just thank God for it. But I definitely want to share with you guys a Romans Revelation 13 in my closing. And we don't have to sit around and look for the beast. We just need to keep doing what God has called us to do, because the Spirit of God going to reveal to us give us discernment when he show up. And if we stay in his will, we're not going to fear him or turn to the left or to the right. But we'll continue to do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of our ministry. And we hear that welcome voice say, well done. But I encourage you, Revelation 13:13, and it says, he that doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwelleth on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image. I want y'all to hear he's saying image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And I encourage you, continue in the will of God, because it won't be a surprise when he, because we already recognize the false prophets. And so I can just paraphrase that the false prophets are the little ants that's feeding the queen or the beast and building them up. So be encouraged, thanks of God, and thanks again, Sister Singleton, and what's the outreach? What's the name of you all's the fellowship again?
As we said earlier, it is a ministry made up of a partnership of five different ministries that have come together to bring forth the word and equipping the saints. So it's five different ministries that we have that have come together. We are praising God for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for the opportunity to share with you guys.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Albert. Again, thank you so much, Pastor Charles, for coming. Just before we move forward in our prayer, a reminder, we will start our summer session. We will be walking through the book of Romans. If you have not received your material, please let me know. Please let me know. Pastor Kuiper will be facilitating our walk through our summer time word from the book of Romans. So please let me know. Text me after this or call me and let me know if you have not received your material, either via the postal service, which we know we do have issues, or whether or not you received it via email. Also, many of you should have received through the mail or via email the information that guided our study on Jude. We provided information for the study on Jude, and much of what was shared on tonight, you can find it located in that material. So if you didn't get that, I'll be glad to get in your hands the danger of false teachers, insight from the book of Jude that was provided to us to help us with this study as well. Deacon Connor, back over to you tonight, and thank everyone for just walking with us through the word. Deacon Connor.
Amen, amen, amen. It has been a deep dive into the word. Thank you for all your questions, your comments, and everything. We are going to move on now to the praise reports. Today is Tuesday. What has happened since Monday? Praise the Lord.
This is Maddie. I would like to thank you all. You guys are praying for my husband. Sunday night, he went to the doctor Monday, and so far, he's doing good. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else? Amen. I understand we only have a couple of days. Amen. But I praise God for life, health, strength, no pain, the active use of my limbs. Amen. I'm so glad to be above ground. Amen. You know the praise reports this evening? If not, we'll move on to the prayer list. Any additions to the prayer list?
Yes, this is Matt again. I would like to put my great-grandson, Caleb O'Neill, on the prayer list, please.
That was your great-grandson?
Yeah, my great-grand. His name is Caleb O'Neill, and also his mother, her name is Natasha O'Neill.
Okay. Amen. Anyone else to be added this evening?
Yes, this is JJ. Some call me Granny, Jackie. I would like to put myself on the prayer list. I went to the doctor yesterday to do my yearly mammogram, and they called me back to come and do another one for ultrasound. So I want prayers to go out that everything come out clear on the next thing I do.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We pray. Yes. Amen.
Minister Deborah, know my story.
Yes, ma'am, we got you. Yes, Lord. Yes, ma'am.
Keita Maxwell, the family, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, this is Keita Maxwell. Amen. Are there others to be added? Amen.
Sister Maxwell. Sister Maxwell.
Yes, ma'am.
What is your, is it your cousin whose son, the 19-year-old, what's her first name?
His name is Jerry Butler, and my cousin was Ezra Jeremiah Butler.
What's her first name again?
His name was my cousin's name is Jerry Butler. His son's name is Edrin Jeremiah Chester.
Got it. Thank you, my dear. Got it.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. So we move to the scripture. Minister Singleton.
Yes, sir. Our scripture tonight comes from Colossians chapter 1, looking at verse number 9, and that is our scripture for the ministry. And it reads, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." Verse number 12 says, "And giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." Amen.
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 Sister Brenda.
sir. Our Father, our Holy Father, asking your forgiveness for my many sins coming today, Lord. Thank
yes.
you for this another opportunity to call on your name.
Yes, Lord.
Your praise. Thanking you, Lord, for your ministers that have ministered tonight. We lift up Caleb O'Neill. We thank you for the report that Sister Maddie has given us on her husband. We lift up Sister Maddie's granddaughter, Latasha O'Neill. And then, Lord, we lift up Jackie. We're lifting up a good report when she goes back to the doctor. We're lifting up healing. We're lifting up no negative out of that report. We're lifting it up right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We're going to claim victory on that report.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Victory, Lord.
Yes.
Victory right now in the name of Jesus. We lift up Shakita Maxwell and family.
Yes.
We lift up Jerry Butler's family right now, Lord, as they have experienced their hour of death. We lift them up right now. Lord, have mercy. So, Lord, we come today thanking you for your word, thanking you for all that you've always blessed us with, thanking you for the good report that Sister Singleton gave on this weekend where she went to Loaves and Fishes.
Yes.
And the light was shining brightly there.
Yes.
Thank you for that light. We thank you for the weekend that we've had with all these ministries, Lord. We thank you for the great weekend. We thank you for the blessing that came out of it with so many people being a blessing by bringing donations to aid the prisoners.
Yes.
We say thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you for the fellowship hour that we shared. We thank you.
Thank you.
Lord, we just say thank you for all you've already been to us and all that you always do for us and how you keep blessing us over and over again.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that you do bless us to hear the word, to read the word, to see the word. We thank you, Lord. And for that, we're ever so grateful. We can't do nothing but give you praise, Lord, because you are worthy. You are worthy to be praised.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And for that, I say thank you.
Thank you.
So in the precious, powerful, magnificent name of Jesus, I say thank you. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you all, please forgive me. I'm going to ask if you all please keep Sister Carla Fry Hopkins in your prayers. She texted me. Please keep her in your prayers as well. That's Carla Fry Hopkins, please.
Name of Jesus. Right now, Lord, we lift up Carla Fry Hopkins. Meet her needs. Whatever it is, Lord, you got the power. So we claim it done right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. I want to thank you all for a wonderful evening here. It has been a deep dive into the Word. We appreciate all of the participants this evening, Brother Avery Henderson, Sister Susan Milton, Brother Al Braxton, and the dynamic duo, Pastor Charles and Pastor Albert. We thank you all. And we will be looking forward to hearing you again
on Sunday. Love y'all. Good night.
Love ya.
Good night.
Love you guys.
Good night.
Thank you, family. Good night. Good night. Thank you, family. Amen. Thank you. Good night. Thank you, family, for being here.
Amen. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Rilla. Good to hear your voice. Thank you. Sister Jessie in Alabama. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, family. Bye. Thank you, family. Thank you.
My daughter came up by this time, and when she was out there, she was able to do 31-01, and I can't go anywhere else that didn't follow her.
Yeah.
That's what I saw her. So much more graphic and detailed and brave, like she was up there. And it's scary.